You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Ravens Weekly, and this is episode 106. My name is Matt Hall, and I'm joined, as always, by Jeff Hutton. Jeff, how are we doing this week?
Very well, even all. More and all, whenever it is.
It was an action-packed episode last week, wasn't it? And let's pick up where we left off there. Of course, we were previewing the under-23s who took on Chippenham Town that night. And unfortunately, Jeff, it wasn't good news on the night for Bromley.
No, they needed a win, didn't they? And it was all going well when they were 1-0 up, unfortunately. 3-1 defeat, Matt, and Josh, you guys were filming on the night, weren't you, live streaming it, and I think that all but ended the chances of actually winning the championship, or certainly made it a lot more difficult. Obviously they had the game on Thursday, which we'll obviously come on to shortly, but very unfortunate for those involved. Obviously it's been a rollercoaster season, a lot of those players being around the first team, out on loan elsewhere, etc. So it's been a mixed bag.
And unfortunately, Saturday didn't go too well for the first team. It was a trip to Boreham Wood, which is always a difficult place to go. They were on a very bad run themselves. Unfortunately, we lost 2-0. And I have to say, did not play very well at all, unfortunately.
What about Ashmore? Twice in a week?
Yes, of course, he was on loan at Maidenhead, wasn't he? And got the clean sheet here on the Easter Monday. And put in a really good performance that day. He had a lot of work to do. The Saturday couldn't have been further from that. He had virtually no saves to make. It was a really disappointing performance, and Andy was not very happy at full time and made his feelings very, very clear in the interview. Unfortunately, there wasn't any commentary on the day either, obviously for reasons we went over last week. However, I'm not too sure that would have been too much fun to commentate on, so maybe that's for good reason. But the only positive really was 152 travelling supporters, which is brilliant stuff. And of course, not very many home fans on the day. I think the crowd was announced at around 800. It's quite a strange atmosphere. It's quite an interesting experience. But thank you to everyone who, of course, made the journey. And sorry, it wasn't a very fun afternoon.
Obviously, while you guys are at Boreham Wood, obviously the community team were out and about in Bromley. Obviously, promoting our upcoming games, Matt.
Absolutely, Ronan the Raven out and about, going into various shops and chatting to people. It's great to see the pictures online and people coming up and asking for a photo. It's really, really good to see. So, brilliant stuff. Hopefully we can drum up some more support. And, of course, further explain what community initiatives we've got on offer as well here at Bromley FC.
And obviously it was a big Sunday for the youth section. We touched on it, I think on the last podcast, with regards to the two teams in action on the Sunday. Matt, obviously the girls and the under-16 boys.
Yeah, so a bit of a mixed bag here. It was bad news, unfortunately, for the Kent Youth League girls side, who lost 1-0 to Danson Sports in their League Cup final.
So, fantastic achievement to get that far, though.
It is, and that's really unfortunate. But go again next season and be stronger. The under-16s boys, they beat Dover Athletic 3-2 on penalties, despite being 2-0 down. They came back to draw 2-2 and then won the penalty shootout. So fair play to them. A mixed bag for the youth, but well done to them. And, of course, congratulations to all of our sides who've got to such momentous stages in their season.
Obviously, we'll touch on the under-15s later. That was yesterday, wasn't it? Their cup final. We're touching it now because they won. Sorry, man.
Why not? So they beat Ebbsfleet, didn't they?
They did indeed.
By 2-1, coming from 1-0 down, and that's their second piece of silverware this season, and they're still top of their league.
And they're still on for the treble, potentially.
Yeah, incredible. What a team that is. Fair play to them. Well done to the under-15s. That is a huge achievement. So that's your youth roundup there.
And then obviously on to this week, a busy week with games, building up to Wembley, etc. And obviously it started on Monday, the team having their headshots, team photo, and their first real look and feel of the new kit.
Yeah, I remember when the actual design was released and the players saw it on the screens in their little lounge next door, and they were really loving it, and it's safe to say the feeling was the same when the actual kit arrived. It arrived first thing Saturday morning last week. It was really, really great to see it. I was one of a couple who was here when it actually arrived, so got a sneak peek. The players absolutely loved it.
Did you try it on?
I didn't try one on, okay. No. I need to go for a few runs before I do that. The team absolutely loved it. The photos look fantastic. the photos look great, and Josh and Chloe and Charlotte and all the team really put a lot of work into that. So
we managed to get the team photos well, didn't we?
Just about.
A lot of people make a lot of jokes, obviously the chairman in the photo this year, but we actually had the whole team in, the whole behind the scenes group in the photo as well. We've done that for a few years now, which was nice to see.
I think I was superimposed onto the last one, so it was nice to actually be in it this time and not look like I was landing from a UFO.
And obviously Tuesday, Matt, all the shot home. Obviously, straight back to footballing affairs on the pitch. A point gained, points dropped.
Yes.
I suppose the table will say a point gained, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. Really and truly, Aldershot scored with their second real chance of the game. Their first real shot on target, they had one across the face of goal in the first half. Mikhail Ndoji with the goal. And it was a great finish, to be fair. Not too much you can do about it. Frustrating to concede with, like I say, their first real shot on target. Bromley did pull an equaliser back through Byron Webster a couple of minutes from time, which I think it was deserved. I just feel we probably should have got the 3 points that day. Aldershot are a side who aren't in great form. I think it's an opportunity missed, unfortunately, to get 3 points and get on some kind of good run of form now, especially with Wembley coming up.
And obviously, Matt, as usual, you caught up with Andy after the game, and here's what he had to say.
Andy, it ends a point apiece tonight. Your thoughts on the game?
I thought I played really well, to be honest. Had loads of the ball. Just couldn't get a break for a good one. I mean, we had one movement second half that was really good. Just with the final finish from Venice, just went astray. Lads were brave. They kept trying to move it. I think it's hard. You've got to realise that these teams are fighting for their lives, so they're going to get everyone behind the ball, and we just couldn't break them down. But I thought I was more concerned about the performance tonight. You know, it's not saying I didn't want the result, but the performance we needed to have after Saturday, and I thought we got the reaction that I expected from the team.
Given you said that, you must be frustrated that all the shots took the lead with virtually their first shot on goal.
It's pretty much what we did last year, let's be honest. Let's not take that away from Aldershot. I mean, they've done us on the counter. We were trying to push to get the win, and you're always vulnerable to that. We could have just sat in and just kept the ball, but we were trying to get the breakthrough, and then they've done us on the counter. We got in the playoffs doing that last year by just sitting in, taking a lot of punishment and nicking a result. So fair play to them. I thought we was a country mile better than them tonight, and we just couldn't get a goal.
So rather than a point gain tonight, you feel it's two drops?
For sure. I mean, listen, we'd like to have got the 3 points, and we probably should have got the 3 points, but at the moment it's just not going in the net for us, is it? So we can't do much more than we did tonight. We had done everything other than put the ball in the net, more than enough chances.
And you rang the changes from Saturday's game at Boreham, with one of them being Marcus Sablier. What did you think of him tonight?
Yeah, Marcus, he did okay. I thought he gives a bit of energy first half and moved the ball, got in good positions. I think second half he got a little bit tired. His calves were cramping up a little bit. So yeah, there's a little bit of progress for Marcus there. So I'm happy for him, to come back into the fold and put a little show on like that. It was good.
And two games coming up in another bank holiday period, and against good sides as well.
Yeah, looking forward to it, to be honest. They're all tough, when you're having a little run we're having at the moment, where the ball's not going in the net, they're all tough. But another bank holiday weekend, and we go again. We just got to keep working hard on the training ground, and just keep trying to get some sort of momentum going. And I felt tonight we was a much better showing.
Andy, thanks for your time.
And then obviously Wednesday, Matt saw us surpass 8,500 tickets sold for Wembley.
Absolutely brilliant, yeah. And the support just keeps coming in, doesn't it? Of course, a really, really big day for the football club, and as many supporters that can be there as possible will be fantastic.
Chairman was on BBC Radio London.
Yes, he was.
Was that Wednesday night?
I think it was, yeah.
I think
it's
still on BBC Sounds.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. He was discussing the road to Wembley and all of what's going on at the moment and the planning and preparation that's going on. So, yeah, really, really good to get that kind of coverage out there as well.
Obviously, talking on the community side of things, obviously we've been out and about. Plenty of local schools this week. We've obviously started at Oak Lodge and Unicorn School, which has been brilliant. Again, handing out all the information regarding Wembley, tickets to our upcoming home games as well, which has been great. And obviously on the community note, Matt, we've also had Raven's Chat at the club.
Yeah, Raven's Chat just continues to grow from strength to strength. Obviously, the chairman paid a visit last week, and that was very, very well received by all of the participants. This week, Andy Woodman popped back in for a chat on all things... yes, very brave. For a chat on all things on the pitch. And of course, the chairman the week before was more stuff going on off the pitch. And yeah, it looked like a really good discussion. It is really a fantastic group of people, and we're open to more people coming down and getting involved. If you're over 50, come on down on a Thursday, 11 till 1 in the venue. And it's a good bit of fun.
Talking about fantastic people, I've got a note here saying we've got an exclusive interview.
We do have a world exclusive interview with the one and only Roy Oliver. And I wasn't sure whether he'd been on the podcast before. He reckons he has once. I can't remember when that was. But we caught up with him on Raven's Chat and just what an impact it's had on him. And here's what Roy had to say. We've got a very special guest on Ravens Weekly today, and that is the one and only Roy Oliver. Roy, have you been on the podcast before?
I think once, yes, I was on it, yeah.
I've got a feeling you were. I can't remember when.
Yeah, it was a few years ago, wasn't it?
It must have been.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Roy, we're here today to talk about Ravens Chat. Obviously, it's been running now for nearly 3 months. How have you found it?
Absolutely brilliant, and I recommend it to any person what's over 50 who've got 2 hours to spare on a Thursday. Come down, we have a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, biscuits, and it's really very pleasant. We get Andy Woodman coming up, and we had Robin last week coming up answering questions. So yeah, brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
It was fantastic to see the chairman last week, wasn't it? And he gave you a real insight into actually what's going on behind the scenes at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, he's so, I would say, very honest. He's very honest in his replies and very sincere. So I think some people get the wrong end of the stick because they've not met him, and they should do. And I told people, come and speak to him. He's a very approachable man. Very approachable man.
Absolutely. And obviously, Andy often pops up. You guys have actually been in the non-league paper, as Andy's mentioned you, and it's great to be able to have that interaction with the manager as well, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. We try to put Andy right on a few things on team selections and all that. But it's very laid back, very jovial. Everyone has a laugh, and he has a good laugh as well. But yeah, it's very nice.
And obviously, project partners are signature at Beckenham, and you've all had the pleasure of visiting there for a screening of the Bromley Boys, which I'm imagining you've seen well into hundreds, maybe 200 times, as you're actually casting it, aren't you, Roy? But it was great to see it at Signature's wonderful cinema room.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And it was nice afterwards because we got to speak to a lot of the residents there, and sometimes they're very enclosed in their community, and we try to sort of say, come down to the Bromley Chat or come down to a Bromley game, and we look after you and make sure you sort of have a nice cup of tea and all that. And I think it would be brilliant because it's a brilliant thing to do.
And obviously you've also had the pleasure of having some quizzes, haven't you, as well as watching the players train from the luxury seats in the stand.
Yes, oh yeah, brilliant. Yeah, I mean we was in the quiz night last Friday, and the Brumpies, we won, so which was brilliant. Lots of questions and all that on different subjects and all that, and it's really very good.
Roy, thanks so much for your time. It's been great to have you back on the podcast.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Matt.
Brilliant. Love to hear from Roy there. Obviously, just going back to those school visits this week, Matt, obviously I forgot to mention the player appearances.
Yeah, it's brilliant, wasn't it? On our first day, our launch day at Oak Lodge Primary, we had Mason Bloomfield and George Alexander join us. Unfortunately, both of them on the sidelines at the moment. They were more than happy to come up and get involved, and they had a little Q&A with the kids, posed for some photos as well, and really got involved in the sessions and actually trying themselves out as goalkeepers, which was quite funny to watch. So a big thank you to Mason and George, for coming on down with us. It's been a very, very busy week with our projects in schools, and we've been in every single day. On Thursday, we were in three different schools at once.
Hoping to see a lot of the kids at the game on Saturday. I know a lot of them seemed excited earlier today.
They did, yeah. They were all given a flyer, and they're all asking questions about it, and hopefully we get some of them coming down to watch us and back the boys tomorrow, and of course for the remaining home games as well. This is the next generation of supporters, isn't it? So really important to get them down.
As we alluded to, just going back to the under-23s, obviously after last Friday's defeat, one final game of the season, Matt, and obviously that was at home. And remind me, was it something stupid like they needed to score 9 goals or yes. win by 9 goals to keep themselves in contention? And they gave it a good go.
They did, didn't they? Yeah, it finished 6-3. Bromley in Bromley's favour against Woking, and Sol Cader scored 4 on the night, and he's
on fire at the moment. He obviously his time out of Cray played
did
a massive part in keeping him up.
Did very well indeed. Scored goals there. He's come back and scored 4 in one game for the under-23s as well. And 6-3 is a good result. They narrowly missed out on winning the league. It was close, but unfortunately just not enough for them on the night. Let's not get away from the fact that it's been a successful season for the under-23s, not only on the pitch, but in terms of player development.
I was going to say, in terms of actually developing the players. You know,
getting players into the first team and actually providing a conveyor belt of up-and-coming talent here along with the academy. So it's been really successful. And I know Steve and the team will be gutted having not won the league. But hey, let's look back on it as a positive season and something to build on for next year.
And again, talk about player development, obviously staff development as well. Obviously, Roger Johnson sadly departed last week, but obviously Steve Harris has had an opportunity to be involved with the first team.
Yeah, and Steve, of course, is the under-23s manager, and with their season coming to an end, it's great to see him involved, and I'm sure he can bring some more ideas to the table with what he's been doing this season with the under-23s, which has been a fantastic job. So, yeah, really nice to see that internal progression there.
And obviously looking ahead now to the bank holiday weekends, 2 games in the space of 3 days. We start on Saturday at home to Chesterfield, Matt. And as ever, it's always nice to hear from the opposition camp.
Yeah, absolutely. We tend to do that each week now, don't we? And this time we've got Nick Johnson, media officer from Chesterfield, and here's the lowdown on them.
Well, as I reflect on the season for the Spireites, it's been frustrating after it promised so much. The team at the top of the table at one point and going on a good unbeaten run. But I have to say the injury problems have really hit hard. And to sum that up, you just have to look at Paul Cook's first game in charge. He lost top scorer Kabongo Shimanga, who suffered a serious injury. And how do you replace somebody like Shimanga with his goals? Very much a talisman for the team. Other players have been lost for spells as well, the likes of Hayden Hollis, last season's player of the year, George Carline, and Jack Clark, who's a highly creative midfielder, much expected of him when he signed permanently from Aston Villa following a spell on loan last season. So yeah, injuries have really hit hard, and I think if it hadn't been for those, then I think that Chesterfield would have been very strong contenders for automatic promotion. As it is, it looks like we're going into the playoffs and very much under strength, because certainly up front very few options for Paul Cook to choose from. So I think everybody will look back on the season and wonder what if, when they consider about the amount of injuries that have been suffered, if we'd have had a fully fit squad for most of the campaign, then things could have been very much different. But as it stands, looking to go into the playoffs and hopefully find form just at the right time. And looking at the game against Bromley, well, I'm going for a 1-0 victory for the Spireites.
A big thanks to Nick at Chesterfield. Obviously, an eventful trip last time, Matt.
It was at the Proact Stadium, or the Technique Stadium, as it's called nowadays. One of my favourite in this league. Really, really nice. And it was an eventful one, like you say, Jeff. We were 2-1 down with virtually seconds to spare. And there goes Michael Cheek in the 6-yard box, popping up once again with a tap-in. Good work from Harry Forster as well to set that up. And there was some scenes in the press box, I seem to remember, and
Made some friends,
didn't we? And it was a great performance that day, and we were very worthy of the draw in the end. And it was a good game of football, actually. Chesterfield, that was when they were really banging form as well, obviously with James Rowe at the helm. It's Paul Cook nowadays, having let James Rowe go, shall we say. He's now AFC filed, so it's Paul Cook coming down to Hayes Lane tomorrow with his Chesterfield side. You can still get your tickets for that one online, bromleyfc.co.uk. Come on down and back the boys, and let's hope for another entertaining
one.
Some
spaces upstairs as well, I believe, in the exec club still. I think they can be booked via Ben. Events@bromleyfc.co.uk, I believe. Yeah. We'll get that email through.
Absolutely.
And the players will be in on Sunday, Matt. Obviously, it's a tight turnaround. They'll be training on Sunday, obviously ahead of Monday's trip to Solihull.
Absolutely, and of course at Solihull we are having the fans coach, so if you'd like to join us on that supporters coach on Monday, do book your place on the website bromleyfc.co.uk. there are still spaces available for that one. And that's another tough trip. Obviously Solihull aside, we played twice this season, both at home, and we've beaten them on both occasions at Hayes Lane, once in the league and once in the FA Trophy quarter final. I sense that Monday's trip will be a bit tougher than those two games, so Solihull aside that are in great form in the league and really pushing for those playoffs. So yeah, come on and down and join us for that one and get behind the boys.
I think that's it, Matt.
I think we're done, aren't we?
Episode, what was it, 106?
106.
Football, eh? Need to get a result tomorrow, get a bit of momentum going. It'd be great to see everybody down at Hayes Lane, the bank holiday weekend. Desperate to get 3 points on the board, Matt.
Yeah,
and get things
important.
Rolling.
It's important, isn't it? We need to get some kind of run of form together before Wembley. So hopefully,
just a 1-0 win, Nicky, last minute. I don't care how it 1-0 comes tomorrow.
1-0 off defender's backside. You know, we'll 100%. Take that. Get obviously, 1-0 to Bromley.
Get in Broomfield, you know. Have a pint afterwards. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Say afterwards. And saying there's a lot going on tomorrow, isn't it? What's what have we got going on? Isn't it Liverpool, Newcastle beforehand? Broomfields, that's open nice and early for that. And then
indeed,
we've got the merchandise, Wembley merch.
The
scarves and flags have arrived. I believe the extra bits arrive next week as well. So there'll be some merch on sale as well in the outdoor bar area. So for those of you who haven't been, when you come outside of Broomfield behind that new terrace, so that'll be good. We'll have some of the merchandise on sale then as well. And then obviously after the game, it's Leeds United, isn't it? I think
it
Marvin Atelli.
Yes,
and then also Stockport, Boreham Wood as well, two games on in Broomfields afterwards.
Of course.
Let's hope we're all in Broomfields afterwards celebrating 3 points.
I was just going to say, it actually starts from 8 o'clock, doesn't it, when we start to prepare for soccer school. Breakfasts are on offer in Broomfields, so if you want to bring your child down to our Saturday soccer school, come on down, have a breakfast while you're at it.
Literally live here, I could.
There we go. Anyway, that's us done for another week. Thank you so much again for listening to us. Take care, and we'll be back next week.
Could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me.